Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I'm ready. I'm in a good mood. The faster we get through the show, you made biscuits and gravy.
The faster
you realize
get biscuits.
How happy I am for that.
I know you are.
Plus, we have this fun co-college themed halftime show today for the Z Marching Band. Oh my God, I'm ready.
It boggles my mind that you, director of bands,
yes,
in your black and gold right now.
I look like I escaped from a Hawkeye prison.
You do look like a Hawkeye prison escapee.
I'm wearing a black and white striped shirt with an Iowa logo on the left breast.
I am so glad that you escaped. But
I gotta see the game.
I'm very surprised that you have made space for the Quahawks.
I just feel like the Quahawks have earned their due,
mm-hmm.
And let's put a spotlight on them.
Here it comes.
They're in downtown Cedar Rapids, and I feel like I don't hear enough about Co College.
They are so down.
I'm clearly in the Mount Mercy realm. One, you're a graduate. Two, I taught there. Kirkwood, I hear stuff all the time. It's like, what's happening, Co?
Yeah. You know what? You're right.
So, and it's not, I think it's not their lack of effort. I'm not used to looking in that general direction.
Yeah.
And when I saw this sports thing pop up, and then all of a sudden we were hosting a playoff football game in Cedar Rapids on Saturday, and then all of a sudden we were not hosting.
Co, no.
What are we going to do? Let's get on our co-toes and find out.
Exactly.
And then I didn't even realize there was a co-band department. I learned a lot in this journey,
you know,
over
what?
The course of 4 days.
It has been an epic journey, and what a place to arrive to here on a Friday morning.
For sure.
Ugh.
So I'm very happy that we will dedicate some time, well-deserved time.
Proud to be here.
To the Quahawks, 7:35 this morning as part of our marching band show.
Absolutely. I'm very proud to make some space.
Yes.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's going to be great.
You know what it's called? It's called scooting over for a second. Let them in. Just scoot over. There's enough room in this bench.
Oh, right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you can't stay the whole time, but...
No, because there is, you know, the Hawkeyes of Maryland.
Yeah.
All that, but, you know.
You'll know when it's time to leave.
Yeah.
There you go. You're invited, but there's a curfew.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kindly leave after your last song is played.
Absolutely.
Thank you for attending.
Yeah. And I also, I'm sorry, but my weekend is also, I've got a Glicken weekend. So
are you glicking?
I'm not.
Are you glicking?
I'm not glut so much. I'm just
icked.
But I did the same thing with Barbenheimer. I just Barbied. I still have an Oppenheimer.
You got an Oppenheimer.
Do I really?
Yes.
Okay. Shame on me. But I didn't. I didn't do Gladiator 1. Do I do Gladiator 2?
You never saw. Are you not entertained?
No, I never did.
Gladiator 1. Russell Crowe's crowning achievement.
I know the references. I know. You know.
No, I don't think you need to see Gladiator 1 to get Gladiator 2. It's men, shirtless men, fighting in a big coliseum.
Yeah.
That's the plot. With some Roman intrigue thrown in.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I do really appreciate shirtless men. All that shirtless men have to offer. And Denzel Washington's promotion of this movie. Because he has just been talking about whatever he wants to talk about.
I think just to appreciate his work.
I know.
Also, Zaddy's in it. So there's that.
That's right. Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, he's also in it.
I
might be worth your time.
It might be.
To find another, I don't know. I'm guessing it's a Ridley Scott movie. Some 3 hours if you have another 3 hours. Because how long? I'm guessing Wicked's long too,
Wicked's
isn't
long.
It?
Yeah, there's a lot of warnings that, hey, prepare yourself. You're going to be in the movie theater.
Okay.
We need to discuss 'tis the season. We're going into Thanksgivings. We've got then right after that, holiday baking is a very serious effort.
It's like a full-time contact sport sometimes.
It's
right. The volume of time you put into that, because it's just what the tradition is.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's just for your house or you've got a cookie exchange or it's for the neighbors, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of flour
time.
On the countertop.
Effort.
Yes.
Ingredients. There's a lot that goes into it. They did a survey of Americans, across all 50 states, examining holiday baking trends, habits, and how we're approaching the holiday baking season. And they found that in the state of Kansas, they are going to be spending 15 hours and 36 minutes in the coming weeks, higher than the national average of 14 hours and 12 minutes on holiday baking.
So Kansas, for some reason, spends the most time holiday baking?
Spends the most time holiday baking. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, but it's right in the heartland. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's in the Midwestern nice zone.
Uh-huh.
So that makes a lot of sense. That's the only thing I got. I can't think of why Kansas.
That's all they got.
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
Oh, no. They're close to wheat, and you need wheat to make flour. So that's why.
That's why. That
the
must flour be why.
Is just there. They go outside. They harvest the wheat. They pound it into flour. And then they make Santa-shaped cookies.
That's why.
That's how it works in Kansas.
Everybody does it differently. Everybody's got a different approach, though. The biggest gingerbread house builders, I would thought that maybe we added to that.
East Coast.
No, it goes to Utah.
Utah?
Utah.
Well, they make big tabernacle churches. It's the Mormons. They know what they're doing.
The land of the Mormons.
You ever seen that tabernacle church?
All those families getting together.
Yeah, they also have a lot of labor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably it.
You would think it'd be the Amish, but no, it's the Mormons.
Nope. Most likely to go to a bake sale.
That's got to be Iowa.
Minnesota.
Well, I was close.
Yeah, you're close. Close enough.
I'd support a bake sale.
You know what Iowa is?
Awesome. And what else?
Says eating holiday treats makes them feel more festive.
I thought you were going to say fat.
No, that's just a matter of fact.
That just shows a week later, like, these pants used to fit. But then again, I had a lot of cookies from my cousin in Kansas who made them and sent them to me.
Exactly.
And Mormon friend from Utah sent me a gingerbread house.
Why don't
my pants fit?
What has happened to these pants? These pants have shrunk.
Something's wrong here.
Oh, dear. Oh,
happy holidays. They have a Racing and Gaming Commission listen to public comment Wednesday in Cedar Rapids on that proposed $275 million casino being proposed for Cedar Crossing. The casino would be located along the Cedar River near downtown. It would feature slot machines, table games, restaurants, a 1,500-seat entertainment venue. Now, there is an effort underway to scuttle the entire project through a petition filed with the commission. The petition claims the last language passed in Linn County doesn't authorize building a casino. The commissioners plan to hold a briefing and hear arguments on that petition. No surprise, it's coming from people down south, the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and the Washington County Riverboat Foundation. No date on when, though, those arguments are happening, but we do know, I believe, the vote is still happening come February for when they make the decision on the casino. And then there's the other curveball. Des Moines, the House and Iowa Senate could also pass a moratorium stopping casinos.
Oh.
So there's a couple speed bumps / obstacles still in the way of Cedar Crossing actually happening.
Okay.
So we'll see where we go after those two things. New exhibit now open at the History Center in Cedar Rapids telling the story of the Collins Radio Company. It actually uses some of their virtual reality training to show people how Art Collins started the company in 1931. For those that don't know, Cedar Rapids' connection to things like Arctic expeditions and World War II and the moon landing is thanks to technology invented in Cedar Rapids.
Wow.
The company merged with Rockwell International. That was 71. That made Collins. Then Collins merged with United Technology Corporation in 2018. That created Collins Aerospace. So you can check out that exhibit happening right now at the History Center in Cedar Rapids. It is an away game. Finger slipped. It's an away game. So we do have a kid captain. We just don't have a wave song, but that's got us feeling all right. Your kid captain for tomorrow's matchup with Maryland is 10-year-old Raylan Miller Ramirez, formerly of Oregon. The family moved to Iowa because of our healthcare system.
What?
And specifically the kids hospital. It was a cancerous tumor on her central nervous system. And after the surgery, she lost her eyesight. And they decided better care was available somewhere else. And the family uprooted from Oregon, moved to Iowa so she could continue to get treatments at the University of Iowa.
Wow.
At the Stead Family Children's Hospital.
Wow.
Raylan's 10. She's in fifth grade. She's been cancer-free for 4 years. Still goes in for regular checkups and sees a lot of specialists. She loves drawing, singing, and maybe this can help your daughter, playing the violin. Have her be an inspiration.
Keep practicing.
That's the key there. So that is our kid captain coming up for the Iowa game taking on Maryland tomorrow. Raylan Miller Ramirez, you got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Okay, think back in your Z's Sleaze history books. Actor Jussie Smollett, the guy that performed a hate crime on himself.
In Chicago?
Yep.
Hired some guys to rough him up. Uh-huh. They even admitted to it.
Yes.
Like there were cash receipts.
Yes. Yeah. And they're like, no, he hired us to beat him up.
And he still denied it.
Yes. His conviction on charges that he staged a hate crime against himself were overturned by the Illinois Supreme Court, but not because anyone thinks he's innocent. What happened was the Chicago District Attorney, Kimberly Fox, reached a deal with Jesse that resulted in her dropping the charges, but the mayor at the time, Rahm Emanuel, didn't like that, so he appointed a special prosecutor
to investigate. Oh, I remember that. Yes.
And then the grand jury restored the charges, and then in 2021, Jesse was convicted. Jesse's attorneys argued that that was vindictive persecution and the original resolution to the case should have been the end of it.
Which was the agreement not to press charges.
Yes.
Okay.
And the state Supreme Court agreed that that was what they were going to do in a 5-0 ruling.
So where are we now?
So he is, it has been overturned.
So and, case closed.
Case closed.
Okay.
Good for Jesse.
I was... Were
you worried about
him? Yeah, I sure was.
I had forgotten about him entirely.
I don't even remember who he was before this happened.
I know. I'm like, oh, yeah. He was actually, he was up and coming. He was on that show with Taraji P. Henson, and that show was, it's no longer on the air anymore. Anyways, yeah, that was the time.
It's like an FBI show.
No, it was a.
I'm not remembering. Here's what it is. Insignificant.
It was a good show.
God, you can't remember.
No, it was a really good show, but...
Oh, wait, it was on Stars, right? Maybe?
I don't remember. Anyways, let's move on to things I do remember.
Such as?
Because it's the future. This weekend's box office. Glicked. This weekend is going to be huge. In fact, there's... Actually, already some rumors. I've got some rumors that perhaps there might be some Oscar rumors about lead actress in Wicked, Cynthia Erivo.
Do musical performances do well at the Oscars?
Not typically, but Cynthia Erivo is being praised. And right now, they're saying that she could be a contender for Best Actress.
The last one I can remember, I think, unless Hugh Jackman was up for... Les Mis, mm-hmm. was probably Joaquin Phoenix and Walk the Line.
True. It doesn't mean that she could win.
Sure.
But, it,
but at least
but
nominated.
Nominated. That's huge. Very, very huge. So we'll see what the performance looks like. Also, fans, now that they've kind of seen the movie, there's a little bit of buzz that we might see, spoiler alert, the original stars of the Broadway musical, Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth, who were the original cast of the Broadway show.
So cameo.
Cameo in the film as well. I don't know exactly what their roles will be, but fans are eager to see what their roles are. Some fans are a little upset with the story I told you about yesterday that you cannot... sing along in some theaters. However, some fans were excited in London when Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo made appearances at a screening in London.
Wow.
Yeah. They expressed their pride at presenting the movie to audiences around the world. So, and thank them for being there.
And I think it's a reminder from us theater nerds to let everybody else know this is a two-parter.
Yeah.
Right?
This is just part one.
This is part one.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see what they're going to do because in the Broadway musical, part two, not as good.
Yeah, act one is great.
Yeah.
Act two.
Good luck.
And you're going?
Tonight! I'm super excited. My husband's super excited. My oldest is super excited.
Yeah.
And my youngest is being dragged along. She'd rather stay at home and play Roblox. That's okay. Have you ever heard of Henry Winkler's daughter, Zoe?
I don't think I knew he had a daughter.
Well, I didn't either. But that's kind of by design because she is not famous. And that is because of Henry Winkler. There was a time, actually, when Zoe was thinking about becoming a reality TV star. She was up for The Bachelorette.
She was?
Uh-huh. This was like before Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
Time. But Henry Winkler was like, nope. We're not going to have that. He actually met a guy at the door and he told him, hi.
Like a producer or somebody with the show?
A producer from ABC or something or The Bachelorette.
So a suitor was at the door?
Yeah. A TV producer. Yeah, yeah. Hi, it's so lovely that you're here. I can suggest some really good restaurants, but my daughter is not going to be doing your show.
She was an adult.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I'm kind of on his side.
I know. And I think that in the end, I'm sure she was really mad at the time.
Yeah.
But in the end, I think it was for the best. And right now, Zoe agrees. She actually got into teaching, which she says is the best job. And it's what I've always truly wanted to do. She now works at a nonprofit that she co-founded that helps families and children who are separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. And she's 44 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So
what an interesting story that we would never have heard before.
Exactly. And who's to say that she would have ever gotten into that, right? Had she not, you know, if she had pursued reality TV, where would she have ended up? I don't know if she would have lived that same life.
I think Henry Winkler has a little bit of a dark side, right?
I think.
Like, he's mad at Tom Hanks, but it only comes up. It's just every once in a while you just get this evil Henry Winkler.
I think he's, but for good.
But it always seems to be for good.
But
yes.
But
he just has this little streak of like little Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Winkler.
She's not going to be doing that.
Yeah, there's some restaurants in the neighborhood, but I'm closing the door in your face now.
But good day. Good day to you.
Would you like a signed autograph for my Days on Happy Days?
Yeah.
Hey, see you later.
Hey.
Hey, don't come back.
Sit on it. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
Hey, nerds, it's the 47th week of the year, 2024.
Oh, my goodness, where does the time go?
Broadcasting from an elevation of 840 feet above sea level at a latitude of 41.88 degrees north and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west. Every week, I encourage you to look it up. That's exactly where we are, ladies and gentlemen.
You think he's lying?
I wouldn't lie about latitude and longitude.
Look it up.
Welcome to Nerd News. The University of Iowa is the lead institution on a $166 million robotic space mission due for launch next year to study space weather.
We are?
Yeah. Space weather. Space weather brings us things like the Northern Lights. Space weather also is like when there's sunspots and then all of a sudden all the satellites don't work and then your phone doesn't work.
Oh.
Space weather.
Space weather.
Also, is it possible, space weather, if it got really extreme, could it impact our electrical grid? Could we have massive blackouts due to space weather?
I hope not.
Well, we don't know. Thus, the study of space weather, thus the University of Iowa tackling that project on our behalf.
Thank you,
space
University
weather.
Of Iowa.
Nerds are important, especially when it comes to studying space weather.
So says nerds.
As we all know, Election Day 2024 included a variety of state and local races. One of those in Scott County, Indiana, was where and how a 19-year-old was just elected as the county coroner.
Whoa.
Brian Richie, a 2024 high school graduate and firefighter, is now the county's youngest coroner and the country's youngest coroner. Richie's been working in a funeral home for the last few months. He was actually asked to apply for the job, so he filed his paperwork while still in high school. He won his primary, so he beat out somebody else. And then he ran unopposed. Ladies and gentlemen, Brighton Richie is your Scott County coroner.
Okay. Does he have to sing the song from The Wizard of Oz? Sorry. I had to ask.
If he did, how would it go? If he did.
As coroner, I thoroughly examined her, and she's not only merely dead, she's really both sincerely dead.
Yes. Yeah. I believe that was part.
So can I be coroner of the morning show?
Well, what are you investigating?
I don't know.
You know your job
should
is.
Should we need one?
Why would we need a coroner?
I'm just saying, should Ben not fulfill his role of safety officer? I'll be the morning scramble.
Your job
coroner.
Is to investigate how people died. Who's dying on the morning scramble?
Nobody. Nobody.
Hopefully not.
But I know the song.
Because you know the song, I will make you honorary coroner of the morning scramble.
Honorary morning scramble coroner.
That's your new title, Claire.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And a plane was grounded for 4 days when...
It
132 hamsters.
Hamsters!
Got out. The plane was on its way from Lisbon, Portugal, to a small island in the Atlantic just off of Portugal.
Was this a hobbyist?
No, they were there for the cargo. So people upstairs in the seats and in the cargo were ferrets and birds and hamsters. There was a delivery to a pet store on the island. This was 100% legit. But when they landed, they realized all of the hamsters got out. So they had to close down the area for 4 days because they had to find all 132 of these little guys.
And did they?
Yes. Their concern was you go back in the air and a hamster chews through a cord and you're down.
Totally.
So they had to search the plane tip to tail to find 132 hamsters. And if I recall, hamsters aren't very big, right?
Hamster. Okay, I'm thinking, I get confused.
Are you thinking guinea pig?
Guinea pig.
I feel like a guinea pig's my fist.
They're bigger.
Hamster might be like a couple fingers. Is that it?
Well, I'm trying to think because all I can remember is...
They're tiny. I mean, just think of the little hamster wheels and hamster mazes. Those aren't big.
No.
Now, then again, if you have 132 of them, think of the things they could power if you needed it.
Yes.
If for some reason you didn't have a power plant, but you had 132 hamsters and the wherewithal to make them run a lot, you could probably power a radio station.
Imagine.
Just imagine.
Are you imagining Z102.9 run on hamster power?
I'm imagining that while you're imagining being a coroner for a morning show. This nerd news is all about imagination.
Come back to these exact coordinates next week, nerds, for nerd news on Z102.9.
All right, it's been a week. Band, are you guys ready to go?
All right.
That's all I can ask for,
okay.
Yeah. Let's try this. There's biscuits and gravy. Band, are you ready to go? There we go.
That'll get him motivated.
Announcer's name, sir. Are you ready to go?
You bet.
All right, let's talk some Hawks, Brock.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Halftime. Under the baton of director of bands, Danson, John, Philip, Sousa, Hansen. With musical director, Greg Young. The Z102.9 marching band has a bone to pick with the NCAA. Well, technically a lower level of the NCAA. Division III. Our message to you, hey, NCAA Division III, consider that second I in your name a gesture from Cedar Rapids to all of you for moving a football game away from Cedar Rapids to St. Paul, Minnesota. Come on. Our whole town was rallying behind the Co-College Cohawks hosting a playoff game this Saturday at Clark Field against the Bethel Royals. What does St. Paul have that we don't? Huh? Do they have the sometimes fruity and fun smell of crunch berries mixed with the sometimes icky and yucky smell of corn sweetener? No, they don't. Co-College has distinguished alumni Dr. S. Donald Stuckey, the inventor of Corningware. All Bethel has is Joel Hodgkin, the creator of a failed and unpopular TV show, Mystery Science Theater 3000, that no one watched ever. To say we're upset is an understatement, NCAA Division III. This town was ready. Popcorn had been popped. Nuts had been roasted. Small-ish bottles of Fireball had been procured to sneak into the stadium. Simply put, this town was hot to go.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's true that Bethel is ranked higher than Co and that they deserve to host the game. Whatever, we get that's why they're hosting. But the best storyline for this matchup is here in Cedar Rapids. Co has the makings of a historic father-son coaching powerhouse, the Staker family. A beloved father-son coaching duo wholeheartedly embraced by the university and fans alike. Unlike another father-son coaching duo you may have heard of, but let's not quite go there just yet, okay? Will Staker magic prove to be the deciding factor when Co plays Bethel on Saturday? Will Bethel's serene campus, tucked on 247 acres of wooded lakeside property, be too much for a team used to playing in the shadow of a recently robbed Wendy's? No matter what, Z102.9 and Cedar Rapids has your back. Let's go, Cohawks!
1, 2, 3, 4.
One quick note before we call it quits, though. The other father-son duo is also a storyline this weekend. There will be intrigue in the battle of Ferentz versus Ferentz as Iowa travels to Maryland to play the Terps. Hey, band, let's go all Jacob Marley on special offensive consultant Brian Ferentz and haunt him with a few familiar sounds from his past. The Z102.9 Marching Band, this is announcer's name, saying thank you to the Coe College Band Department. Enjoy the second half, and go Cohawks and Hawkeyes!
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes!
Z102.9.
Even the Morning Scramble and Todd Bromelkamp get a bye week when it comes to talking Hawkeye football. But we're back in studio. Todd Bromelkamp walking down the hall, our sports insider from 1600 ESPN. He's inside the building. And we need to set the stage for Iowa and the Maryland Terrapins.
That's right. But it feels like it's been such a long time since we've seen you. How are you, Todd?
It's our second bye week. We did this earlier in the season.
It was one of those weird seasons where we get two weekends off.
Is that just luck of the draw?
Back when there was still hope for this. No. You told me we're going to get to that later on. So when they brought the Pac-12 teams in, they decided because of the travel and everything that there was one of the concessions that they were going to have to make was everybody was going to get two bye weeks.
Oh, I didn't know it was because of the Pac-12. I just thought we had a weird calendar this year.
No, I did too. Yeah.
So if you look, you know, they played UCLA and you get the bye week coming
after
back
the travel.
Off of that travel. It doesn't always work out perfectly, but it does help.
Well, let's start with UCLA. Iowa losing 20-17. Now, that's 2 weekends ago. Sullivan out of that game due to an ankle injury, which now is bad enough that he's not playing any more of the regular season games. According to everybody in the internet, I don't know who's starting as quarterback on Saturday. Todd, do you?
Well, it certainly seems like a day-by-day thing. But on Tuesday, it was Jackson Stratton. And then on Wednesday night, when Kirk had his weekly radio show with Gary Dolphin, it was Jackson Stratton.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Jackson Stratton's going to be the guy who's under center. And you're probably wondering, who's Jackson Stratton?
That was my follow-up question.
You would not be alone, because at the beginning of the season, I don't think there were probably too many fans who even knew he was on the roster. He's a walk-on quarterback that was most recently at Colorado State. You guys will maybe appreciate this. They call him Shaggy because he has a somewhat passing resemblance to the Scooby-Doo character.
Zoinks!
And that's Zoinks is what fans should be saying when you get to the point where you've got Shaggy as your quarterback on the 11th game of the season. But they've been beset with injuries. Cade McNamara's coming back from a concussion, so he's not completely ready to go from that standpoint. He's cleared to play,
okay,
but they're clearly not comfortable putting him in a position to play now.
So he's on the bench. Should Shaggy? Not, I'm sorry, I keep going
wrong.
Shaggy. Should Shaggy have some trouble out there? Is it like, oh, we're gonna have him on standby?
Or do you have a sixth string?
Presumably, yeah. The Marco Lines, who's been a backup quarterback in the past, we saw him in the bowl game a year ago. He's got like a broken finger, but they've cleared him to play in case of an emergency. So outside of that, you're looking at guys who are walk-ons or guys that play a different position that maybe were quarterbacks in high school. If it really gets down to an emergency situation, and who knows, never say never, they'll come up with somebody to put under center there. But the quarterback situation is really sort of dire right now for Iowa. They can't afford to have any sort of injuries on Saturday.
Well, it's adding some intrigue to a game that I have to say, ever since Maryland joined the Big Ten, it's Maryland. I guess I've never really put a lot of stock into this game.
Really?
It's there. It's an 11 o'clock on a Saturday.
Is it because of the flag?
I don't mind their wacky flag or the fact that they're the Fighting Turtles. All those things are okay with me. There's just, I've never considered them a football powerhouse. And here I am looking at a 6-win Iowa team that I could easily see going 8-4 this year or ending up going 6-6. I'm not clocked out yet. But I'm not really sitting on the edge of my couch for this game.
Yeah, this is a weird matchup. Maryland and Rutgers really still don't feel like Big Ten teams. And you look at, they're 4-6. They're 1-6 in the Big Ten. The only game that they've won in Big Ten play, they won by a single point. And that was with USC coming 3,000 miles all the way across the country. They've given up points to everybody that they've played this year. 27, 42, 37, 28, 48, 39, and 31 in Big Ten games.
So is the key with us at a quarterback question, just hand the ball off and run?
Yeah.
But if they know we're going to do that,
let's not do that.
What's the strategy?
No, you guys got an idea.
Well,
here's the key. They may know a lot of what Iowa's going to do because they've got an offensive analyst that's Brian Ferentz.
Yeah, but he's Brian Ferentz.
Whoa,
sorry.
Okay. You're stealing my material. if you weren't on the air at the same time as I was, I would think you were listening to Wednesday's show.
Oh, no. Okay, but let's get into that little bit of controversy because we do have Ferentz versus Ferentz. How is that shaping up? Has our coach Ferentz addressed that at all?
Yeah, he talked about it on Tuesday, and he tried to downplay it. Like, I've been through this before with when I got here. Barry Alvarez was at Wisconsin, and they coached together, and Bill Snyder at Kansas State, and they coached together. And
yeah, but they weren't having turkey together.
Well, no, I said, yeah, he didn't go to Bill Snyder's T-ball games,
yeah.
and he didn't change Bob Stoops' diaper when they coached against each other in the Insight Bowl. Like, this is, you can't downplay this,
yeah.
You know? And an analyst isn't necessarily like an offensive coordinator or anything, but he's still there and he's still in the building and you are allowed as an analyst now to coach. That used to be, we couldn't have any contact. So it is sort of like a coach. He's downplaying this, but it's awkward. It's weird, especially given the fact that, I think if Kirk had his druthers, Brian would still be coaching at Iowa, maybe not as the offensive coordinator, but he'd still be working here in some capacity. So as he said the other day, they probably won't have a whole lot of time for hugs and everything before the game, and I'm sure there will be afterwards. But you're talking about a guy who recruited players like Caleb Johnson, and he knows a lot of Iowa's tendencies. He coached and played with Phil Parker as a defensive coach when Brian was playing at Iowa. So he knows Phil Parker. I mean, he literally grew up watching Phil Parker and his defense. So he'll know some of the tendencies, and it's, I think it's a storyline that may play itself out.
But to Claire's point, I think if I was being strategic, you do the opposite, or at least don't be as, don't go the same
Costanza
tendencies that you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it hasn't worked for George Costanza before, so now you do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say that they're probably all that worried about it, but I'm sure they've had discussions internally in the building this week about, okay, do we change play calls, how we refer to things, because obviously if you don't, you got somebody in on the other sideline or in the booth that's going to hear a certain word and say, I know what that means.
They can decode it. Yeah.
Oh, totally. But I do find that a lot of times Iowa, we stick to the plan, right?
We do. That's true.
Let's just go right down the middle.
Again and again and again.
Yeah.
And without a quarterback, that may be what they're doing Saturday.
Well, as we look forward to that game, by the way, that's a kickoff at 11 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. The Vegas line didn't move much, even with the quarterback change. It seems like Vegas feels Iowa could be almost a touchdown favorite here. Are you seeing that, feeling that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I noticed that, I pointed that out this week too. What does it tell you that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, that Iowa's, it's sort of baked in. Iowa is what Iowa is, and this is a game that I think that they'll try to run the ball a lot with Caleb Johnson. Jackson Stratton had a couple throws that looked okay against UCLA, but he's not got a ton of experience, and you make your first start going on the road. I don't know what to make of this, but I think Iowa, this has been a game that I've had as a win all season long. I tried to convince myself that they could lose this. And then again, I look at the numbers of what they've given up in Big Ten play to everybody that they've played. They're giving up about 30 points a game. I don't think Iowa loses this game, even with a fourth or fifth string quarterback.
That is a hot toddy hot take I can get behind.
And on a cool day like this Friday morning, I'll take a hot toddy and a hot toddy hot take. I'll take one of each.
Thank you, Tom Hamilton. Can you let everybody know if they need a little bit further inside look at this game? Where can they go?
We have the Before the Boom podcast, which will be available Friday mornings at 8 a.m. And next week, we'll make an exception with the short week and Thanksgiving and everything. I think we're going to have the podcast available sometime Wednesday after we record it next week. So
perfect. Well,
face a 1600 ESPN Facebook page, wherever you get your podcasts, Before the Boom.
We'll get you back in here probably on an earlier date as well next week, but we're getting ready for the Hawkeyes in Maryland. Todd Brommelkamp, thanks for coming into the Morning Scramble.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.